You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Facing adversity is an inherent, audacious journey marked by the complex interplay of emotional, psychological, and physical challenges. The difficulty lies in the confronting the unknown, navigating a landscape riddled with uncertainties and disruptions to established norms. How can women now use their faith to navigate this painful part of life? Me, I don't know, so don't ask me how I navigate these things, guys. You're sailing nicely. Anyway, we are joined on the line by my pastor, Ayban Mfundisi Pendulfon. Joined on the line by Pastor Piri, who's going to be speaking to us about this topic. He's already here. Mfundisi, how are you?
I am well. How are you, Zanele?
I am fine. Why are you nervous?
that prelude. In fact, I must say thank you, Derek, because I think you have prepared the way for me to speak today.
I won't grill you. I promise.
It sounds like Zanele today is grilling season.
No, I've been. You know, from the service since I started, I was like, Holy Spirit, please gather me. You know, gathering, like, because I don't know what's happening with me today, because I'm, yeah. But we're going to get through it, Mfundisi. So I'm in by that. Please pray that the Holy Spirit guides us in this conversation that we're about to have.
Let's pray. Father, Yahweh, I trust you that it is by your design that it is me speaking today, because I know that a process was going through, people were asked, but you landed on me, and there's a word to be shared that will bless somebody, and I trust you to do that through me. Allow me not to hold you back. Speak, O Lord, even as we discuss. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we are speaking about, this is quite serious, you know, adversity. How we navigate adversity and how we use our faith to advocate, to navigate. And other people, hey, Sani Zoman, big English words, adversity is basically misfortunes, trials. Today you wake up, your leg is painful. When you start, your car is not working. You lose. You see those things that don't make sense. Those are adversities, you know. So looking about our faith, because we've been speaking, well, at 11 o'clock, in fact, we're speaking about all things faith, but because we are also combining it with the 10 days of prayer, where it's priorities of faith. So now, Mfundisi, how now does having a foundation in faith, you know, provide strength and resilience in the face of adversity? Is that where now we pull up scriptures? But I'll hear from you, Mfundisi.
So first of all, I just want to say that I'm speaking on the authority of three sisters. Mm-hmm. One mother,
yeah,
and many other significant women in my life,
yes,
who I would have loved to be the ones sharing, because I've learned from their experiences just watching them. Mm-hmm. Then let me come and respond to this question. First of all, I want to pay attention to the words, you know, foundation and strength. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of building, you know, the building is only as strong as its foundation. So then one can say that having a foundation in faith, like how strong that foundation is in faith is, I mean, that answers its own question, is that it does provide strength, because if your foundation is deep and strong, then whatever you've built on top of that will really be strong. It will help you find courage, because faith provides hope. You know, it's the substance of hope for and the evidence of things unseen. So even when in the present, what you are seeing is a challenge, you can't see a brighter day, that faith will give you the strength and the courage to be able to go another day, even when what's present is adversity. I know there's a question coming that will help us get it a little bit deeper, because then what informs our faith, since the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, you know, that also just goes on to provide more courage and more strength to us as we, or to women particularly, since we're talking to women as they go through different situations. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, yeah. Mbundisi, you know, we study the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're like, hey, where do I start? Do I start? Do I just go Genesis to Revelation straight? Or, and then we go to, you know, we Google, we find directions, you know, start here, start from the book of John. And then you go here. And then when you're reading there, you find, you now we come upon these women. You find your Deborahs, your Esthers, you know, your Ruths. You find all these women. And then you're like, interesting, you know. So now, how do these biblical teachings, Mfundiwam, and stories inspire and guide us as women in navigating our adversities? Because some people, they're like, hey, Mina, I relate to Esther. Yambono Esther, ne? Mina, I relate to Ubanlo, Usarai, not Sarai, before she was Sarah, you know. But how now, how do these stories and these characters in the Bibles, you know, do they help us to navigate these things? Because sometimes, I'm not sure, though, if there is a person like that. But there are people who say, I don't relate to any of these stories at all. Even though we've been given a whole lot of stories that somehow you can relate, you know. But how then do they help us navigate this whole adversity?
You know, the text that comes to mind is, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and God, right? So John, ending his record, says that there was so much more that Jesus did that if everything was recorded, it would fill the entire earth, okay? So whatever the Holy Spirit picked in the stories that are in the Bible is sufficient for every person's experience.
Mm.
The wise man in the Old Testament says there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm.
Even the challenges and adversities we're facing now, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been seen before. So how do these Bible stories and Bible teachings help? I love to say that the Bible is not a rule book.
Okay.
Right? It's a record of a story. God picked a particular family, and He's been interacting with that family. And we can see from His interactions with this family how God interacts with people.
Mm.
So watching how God deals with Rahab, who was a prostitute, international prostitute, right? We see how she deals with her.
International.
She was, yeah. we see how He loves on her.
Mm.
Then somebody who's an international prostitute listening now,
hey,
can find comfort in knowing that God loves me and He can deal with me and raise me up like He raised Rahab. Dealing with a woman who hasn't had a child like Sarai, right, and Sarah later, and seeing how God promises and He's faithful, we can see that in that story. There's other women, other characters in the Bible that we find stories that we can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And in, I mean, Penina and Hannah,
hey,
you see that bullying situation.
Mm.
See how God deals with that situation as well. Those stories, I think, can go on to provide some sense of empowerment, some sense of comfort, some sense of inherent worth of the woman and strength, if we just stay in those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's for me what I hear in those accounts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm fond to see, we are taught, or we often hear, we are taught and we often hear that when all is nice and rosy, study the Bible. Because when adversities, trials and tribulations, they come, when life shows you flames, even Psalm 23, the simplest of them all, you forget.
You forget.
You know. So now, how does one having a, let me run away from the word strong, just a prayerful life, because hey, how we measure is different per person. How does one having a prayerful life, you know, contribute to emotional strength and a sense of peace when facing adversity? This one, it's quite interesting as one point is on, because when we are going through the most, when life is showing us flames, Yeah, sometimes I want us to be real and frank. Name from this one, you'll tell me if I'm wrong. When it's giving, when life is giving, sometimes we're like, Father, I thank you for today. Amen. Because you don't have words. You don't, like, there some comes a time where you're like, I don't even know what to say to God, you know. But even that two words that you say to God and then you sleep, you know, how does it now give us a sense of, you know, a strength and peace? Uguti, he's got this. I don't have to tell him everything.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the last part of it, the D part says, let me just read through the whole part. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of spirit, of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. Then listen to this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Never feel guilty when you don't have the words, because your heart communicates. Romans chapter 8.
Yep.
It tells us that the Spirit prays on our behalf, because he knows, even without you saying anything. You know, Isaiah chapter 65 tells us that before we call, he will answer. And while it's still speaking, he will hear. So it's not in the complete words. You've already thought the prayer before. There's this concept we have in the world of psychology, that you've got to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. So when I'm walking, my mind is actually thinking, even though I'm not actively thinking about where I'm putting my feet. So because the words haven't come to my fore mind to be spoken out, does not mean the words are not in my heart. So because God discerns those thoughts, he discerns them. But now let me answer the question when you're asking about having a prayerful life. Another concept we have in the world of psychology that says buried emotions never die. They show up in different moments. And those are the temper tantrums, or the snapping, or, you know, the lashing out that we do towards our children or our spouses where they're shocked. I just said hello and then this came out. Right, it's because there's so much that's buried underneath that hasn't been resolved. Prayer helps us bring those emotions out. If there's not one human being you can speak to, you can at least speak to God. The challenge, however, is that the picture that a lot of people have been given of God is he only deals with holy things. So the dirty and holy things don't bring them to God. But I want to challenge that and hope somebody listening is helped. Bring everything to God. The song What a Friend We Have in Jesus tells us, what needless pain we bear, all because we not carry everything to God in prayer. Everything. So being able to release those emotions alleviates your overwhelmed feeling, because sometimes the emotions can be overwhelming, which will leave us stronger to deal with other things, or having a clear mind. I am aware, because I have significant women in my life, and one significant woman in my life has taught me that women sometimes carry mental load. You know, Zanele, you're on radio, you're working, but you're in your mind, you're thinking, what are we eating tonight?
I've
done this in the house. Now, because it's in your mind is already tired. And I've learned that women carry a lot of mental load.
Yeah.
So if one is able to release it from the mind and from the heart and pour it out to God, it leaves one stronger. And when one comes for therapy, that's actually something that we would say, write it down, journal it. Don't keep it in your mind. And that's what prayer is. It's like a journal. It's like a verbal journal that you're giving God.
Mpundisi, I don't know if this is, as a woman myself, let me just ask the question. I don't know if this is a misconception or it's a stereotype. I don't know, but there is this saying that two women together, if they get along, let's clap hands for them, because we don't, like, I don't know what's going on, you know. And this comes from Pundiswami to this question, like, being part of a community, a faith community or a sisterhood, you know, can it give us strength when we are going, when we're going through the Lord the most and everything else? And with that one, I also want to put it like, these days, it seems like we just don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same for men as well, but us as women, speaking about myself, who is, I don't know if I'm an introvert or an extrovert or both. I don't know which one, but I can safely say at this point in time, there's no sisterhood that I'm having in my life. But I am part of certain groups in the church, but I don't see myself ever going to those women. I'm like, hey, guningi. You know, because someone has not, no one has come to me as well. So I don't know if we are having an issue there or it's just also these misconceptions we have or anything else. But if I were to find myself in that sisterhood, when now it's going, you know, when your Derricks are giving me stress, I'm picking on him because he's still in the studio, you know, the weight has disappeared. The load be lighter because I have other people.
That's a very good one. And you know, in one of the sober houses where I work, female house, it's actually a testimony from a lot of women. I don't know what's happening in the female community. People don't get along. And one of the things they say they had to learn is getting along with the women in the house. But I would tell you from a therapist's point of view, that community is very helpful. And what community does is that it lets you know that you're not alone. When you are able to get with other women and begin to share, and you hear them share too, and then you realize, wait, you too go through this? How do you make it? And you begin to hear people share how they go through their day or how they go through their experiences. It can leave you feeling very encouraged because you realize what you're doing is enough. Because one of the things is the feeling of I'm not enough, right? Or I'm not doing enough, I'm failing. Especially when if it's a mother and you begin to see certain behaviors out of your children and I failed at some point. But then when you get around other women and you realize maybe they are even older, and you realize, hey, these are good Christian women that I look up to.
Yeah.
And they're having similar challenges to myself. You be encouraged and be like, okay, I'm actually trying and I'm doing enough. You begin to find guidance in those communities where other people are. You begin to experience empathy. You know, sympathy is what you will get from me. Like Derek was saying, that I can't relate to issues that women go through. So most likely I will extend sympathy in certain situations. But when you get with another woman, you get an experience of somebody not speaking to you from at the top of the well. You've fallen into a well, and I will be at the top saying, oh, shame, it's so bad down there. Hey? But when you get somebody who will come down into the well and sit with you because they understand. You know, they understand. But I identify and I can acknowledge the challenge that is within same gender spaces.
Yeah.
And it is, first of all, there are a number of issues that haven't been addressed. And so those issues are standing in the way of true intimacy. But when you get past those issues, you actually find that those communities are quite helpful. Those faith communities are quite helpful. What I'm basically saying is, Zanele, I hear you when you're saying that you're not belonging to any sisterhood. I pray that we can have more groups where one way you can say that one, I think I can.
Yes. Yes. So, looking at, you know, Mpundiswam, because we've looked at the issues of prayer, issues of sisterhood, issues of, you know, sticking to the word, you know, abide. Hey, you know, there is a way when you say it in Zulu, I think I've heard one pastor who preached that scripture, and that's why I always want to say it in Zulu. You know, when you abide in him, you know, we are able to face these things here. So looking at that, Mpundiswam, when we are the practical coping strategies that we can use as women, you know, rooted in the faith, obviously, that we can say that they are quite effective, because we know when we're going through a lot, we don't have time to read, we don't have time to pray. Scriptures, they have all disappeared. We don't, like, at that point in time, because we, like, you know, you feel so battered by everything that you're going through. And sometimes you find that others would say go and garden, but people who are in the burbs, they don't have space. People who are at home, they are tired of gardening, because that's what they are, that's their daily life, you know.
Guys,
that's it. So, but what are some of what are some of the coping strategies that we can employ? Because, like, I'm going through a lot, but I wanna overcome it, but I don't know what to do, you know. So what can one do?
So I'll start from Joel chapter 3 verse 10, where the prophet has been told by God, you know, plow your tools into swords. The last part of it says, "Let the weak say I am strong."
Mm.
I think it starts from there. There's a way you must begin to speak to yourself and about yourself in a positive way. You will read the Psalm 23. Mm. It says, "God is my shepherd; I want not."
Mm.
In the present, so there's a certain way you must speak about yourself. Practice that. That's a practical skill or practical tip that I could give. Practice gratitude. Because when you refocus your mind on what is positive, you will find that what is negative begins to dwindle. So practice gratitude.
Mm.
Seek from Scripture. There's a lot of wisdom from Scripture. I know that there's people who have a challenge. Oh, the Bible is misogynistic and all of these things.
Mm.
But that's because of how certain people have explained it. God himself is not misogynistic. He's actually... You know, you started with that whole feminism thing in the beginning. God is actually embracing of everyone. And there's wisdom for every person in Scripture. So seek wisdom from Scripture. Engage in acts of kindness and service. Mm. Because when you're others-centered, you focus less on yourself. You will find that somebody will benefit from your story as you are serving. So engage in acts of kindness and service. Another one is cultivate a mindness of forgiveness and acceptance.
Yeah.
Acceptance of yourself and acceptance of the people around you who don't understand. I relate with you, Zanile, because I think my mind is very special, very unique, very colorful.
Mm.
Very few people get it, and it can be frustrating.
Mm.
And it can be very hard to find community.
Yeah.
But I'm learning to accept myself.
Mm.
Forgive myself and other people who, because of ignorance, have injured me. So I'm encouraging the woman that many people don't understand the things that you go through, the emotions that you experience when the month turns, right? People don't understand why you responded a certain way or what you were feeling when you were responding. Forgive us and forgive yourself. That will help in going through adversity as well. And maybe the last one that I would give is maintain a positive outlook on life. Yeah, maintain a positive outlook on life. It must start with knowing that God is good.
Yep.
Yeah, it must start with knowing that God is good.
Mm. Hi, Mvundis, thank you, ne? Hey, thank you. And as Derek said, I think you did well.
Thank you very much.
You know why I said that. No, man, thank you so much, you know, Mvundisi, for coming through and speaking on human issues, and also they now also directing them to the female species. So we pray that you have yourself a blessed day. Till each other again next time.
Amen. Thank you so much, Zanele, and blessings to the listeners as well.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.